Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend. And today's episode has been a while in the making, is the best way I can word that. Is it has been trial, tribulation, testing, learning, to put me in the space to be able to confidently speak on this to you today. And y'all, today's episode, we're going to focus in on dealing with opposition. Dealing with opposition, moving forward as a follower of Christ with opposition. How to do it the Christ-like way. How to do it in the way that honors God. And those of you who have been listening to this podcast for a while know that I have not always handled things the Jesus way, the biblical way, the loving your neighbor's way. There was a time in my life before I gave my life to Jesus that I wanted to hurt people back, that I said mean things, that I went out of my way, that I sought revenge, that I did all these things, that I held people in unforgiveness. And I saw the bad fruit as a result of that. I know what it is like to lean into the flesh. The mindset I'm in now and the way I handle things now is not, I want to be so clear, the way that I have always handled things. I used to have a very different perspective. I used to be one of those people that wanted to show just how far I could go so that way someone wouldn't mess with me again. I wanted to be that person that could deal justice. And that was coming from a space of hurt. That was coming from a space of pain. And Jesus Christ showed me another way. And that is what we are going to discuss today, is how to handle opposition in a way that honors the Lord, in a way that you're going to see God's will shine through. You're going to see God's promises show up. You are going to see the glory of God. I just want to start today's episode with reading Ephesians 6. Now, we're not going to deep dive on Ephesians 6 at this moment, but I just want to open up today with reading this to you, okay? We're going to start Ephesians 6, verse 7. Serve with a good attitude, as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way, without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven. There is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth, like a belt around your waist, righteousness, like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with the boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. And I want to highlight here to y'all where it's made very clear that even today, we are in a spiritual battle. with dark forces, dark principalities that we can't see. It's very easy to get in the mindset of like a me versus them on a human level, right? When you look at someone who is acting as opposition, when there's someone who's lying, when there's someone who's gossiping, when there's someone who's slandering, when there's someone who is doing wicked things, and it's easy to look at that person and just say, this is my enemy. This is the person I'm battling against. And when you look at it that way, it's very easy to quickly rely on fleshly methods, to rely on our humanistic methods, right? Of wanting to gossip back, or wanting to expose this, or wanting to reveal this, or show this. You start doing things to hurt that person. But when we read this scripture, and when we are rooted in this scripture instead, we're able to see that there is a bigger force behind this person. When you are a follower of Christ, when you are doing things that glorify the kingdom of heaven, when you are doing things that further God's will, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy, the devil, his main mission here is to stop God's will, is trying to get involved, trying to intervene. And we know that the devil can't actually do that, okay? But he tries to anyway. He tries to separate us from Christ. He tries to get us to lead other people astray. He tries to get us to not put our faith in Jesus and to not serve God. Right? So understand that every moment of every day, there is a spiritual battle going on that we cannot see. The forces of light, goodness, which is God, Jesus Christ, the angels in heaven, and the forces of darkness, Satan, the fallen angels, the demonic forces that play off of the wickedness, the wicked desires of our flesh. So yes, the devil operates through vessels, through people, just as we are vessels for God to be used to spread the gospel, to show people the love of Jesus, to, you know, open up doors, to do different things like that. The devil will use people to try to create blockages, to try to plant seeds of doubt, of fear, of worry. What was it the devil said to Eve in the garden? Did God really say that? The devil loves to plant little seeds that get you to doubt God, that get you to question the Bible, that get you to question the Word of God, that get you to question whether or not Jesus actually is the way, the truth, the life. Because if he can get you to start doubting, he can get you to start going away and going astray. The devil oftentimes doesn't meet us with outright lies. He meets us with deception, which is truth with lies sprinkled in, or lies with truth sprinkled in. It's easier to believe a lie when there are certain aspects of it that look like truth. And I think it's really important that we start off this episode today of recognizing that we need to separate the spiritual from the person. Yes, a person can be willingly allowing themselves to be used by the devil. And we know how to handle people like that. We know to avoid a divisive person, to not be in closeness with them, that we can pray for them, but we're not supposed to cast our pearls before swine. We know if someone is a willing vessel for the enemy, the devil, that's not supposed to be our close person. That's not supposed to be our confidant. The most loving thing you can do is turn them over to God and pray for them. But we need to understand the bigger thing at work here, which is the principalities, the darkness, the wickedness. And when we're able to see that our real enemy is the wickedness, the darkness that is moving through these people, it's a lot easier for us to start handing that battle over to God, right? It's easier for us to start saying, okay, me gossiping back, me saying this, me doing that, isn't what is actually going to win this battle. It's just going to perpetuate things. What's actually going to win the battle is handling it from a spiritual sense, which is praying about it, which is giving it to God, which is submitting to God's word. The spiritual battle isn't won by our fleshly methods, by our humanistic methods. It is won in the spirit, right? It's won by giving it to God. So I just felt it was really important that we separate that right here. It's going to help you kind of digest and be a bit more open to the steps I am about to give you. Now, we're going to be pulling a lot of scripture today. And I'm going to be giving you a little bit of a list that God really helped me create this morning in my private time with him. When I look back at how God started changing the way I handled opposition and I handled warfare and I started doing things the Jesus way instead of my way, these were the most important milestones. These were the most important views and like beliefs that were developed in me that helped me. And that's what I'm going to take y'all through today. I want to start just real quick with identifying different places where opposition can and will arise out of your life. The devil is going to use your family members, the people who are lukewarm, the people who are unbelievers, the people who are submitted more to their flesh, who follow their heart, who whatever it is that they are putting their faith in before God. He will use those people. He will use those people to get you to doubt what God said. You'll find those people saying, "Did God really say that? Yeah, that sounds good, but I think you're much better off here. I think you're much better off doing this." Look at how the devil tried to use Peter. Peter loved Jesus. Peter loved Jesus. But when Jesus was saying, "Hey, I have to do the will of the Father, and there's going to be a day when I'm no longer here." Like Jesus was saying, "I am about to suffer, but it's a good thing." And Peter, out of his love for Jesus, was like, "No, no, you can't do that. No, that's not a thing. You're not going to die. You're not going to, that's not going to happen." And Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan. You will not block the will of the Father." In that moment, you know, Peter was being led not by submitting to God, but by his heart and his desires. And out of a loving space, it was like he was trying to get Jesus to doubt what he was supposed to do. And that was the moment where Jesus was able to identify that this is not coming from God. This is a form of opposition. Even people who love the Lord, who follow Christ, who are submitted, they can be used in moments when they are leaning into their flesh, when they are overcome by their heart's desires, when they were leaning more into what they want and not submitting to God in that moment. Sometimes the words that they speak to us can actually cause fear and doubt and misguiding. And that's not saying that that person is always being led by Satan and that that person is like an agent of Satan. We're humans that have the fleshly desire, that are tempted. When that original sin came into the world, keep in mind, y'all, that the devil is always prowling around. Demons are always prowling around. They whisper in your ear and make you think that some of these thoughts are yours when they're not. And in moments of weakness, there are times when we lean into that instead. That doesn't mean that that person is a child of Satan. So it's important to test the spirit behind messages. It's important to test the spirit behind words that someone is speaking. It's important to look at it and say, is this contradicting God's word? Is this trying to plant seeds of doubt? Is this trying to plant seeds of fear? So I want to be so clear that Christians, at times, people who love the Lord, when they are in a moment of being led by their flesh, being led by their heart, instead of being led by the Spirit, can be used to create doubt. But the people that you're more often going to see being used are the people who are lukewarm, are the people who their lives are not centered around Christ, are the people who elevate themselves, elevate idols, all of these things that tell you to follow your heart And right now we're talking about more of the opposition that looks like it's from a space of love, but you're also going to find opposition that straight up appears wicked. You'll see that in family members. You'll see that in friends. You'll see that in colleagues. You'll see that in coworkers. You'll see that in that random person online. Where it's a little bit more clear and evident that they don't like you. That it's not an opposition of I'm trying to stop you from a loving space. Opposition can look like that jealous person. That person who, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve this good thing. So I'm going to lie, gossip, slander, do whatever I need to do to block that thing. That friend or that family member that's doing everything they can to prevent you from stepping into that thing that God has anointed you to do. That's trying to block opportunities for you to move forward, to elevate. That sees God opening a door and tries to slam it shut. Emphasis on tries. I'm just taking a moment here to identify to y'all that opposition can appear in a lot of different ways. It can look like that loving person that just cares. But coming from that space of care, it's planting doubt and fear. It can look like that jealous person that doesn't want to see you win. It can look like that person that's rooted in unforgiveness. It can look like that person that has such a competitive mindset that they're okay with seeing other people do good, but they cannot be doing what they feel is better than them. And I want to be so clear that it's so important to separate the person behind the spirit, because at the root of this, behind each of these forms of opposition, the real enemy here is the darkness, is the wickedness, is Satan. At the root of it, he's trying to prevent you from stepping into what God has called you to do. He's trying to prevent you from growing further in your faith. He's trying to prevent you from bringing other people closer to Christ. He's trying to prevent other people from seeing that Jesus Christ sealed victory over death on the cross. So yes, I'm addressing the forms of opposition can come in, and they come through people oftentimes, right? Sometimes they come in as thoughts, where you just have those intrusive thoughts or those random bursts of like these emotions and anger that you know aren't from the Lord, that you know aren't from God. Sometimes spiritual warfare comes in those really bad mental health hits. Now, I'm not saying that mental health problems as a whole is just spiritual warfare. I'm not going to dismiss it in that way. As someone who I grew up with depression, anxiety, it was really, really bad in middle school and high school. And I was diagnosed with things outside of school, depression, panic disorder, PTSD. I am not dismissing spirit. I am not calling mental health just spiritual warfare as a whole. But when I was delivered from those things and depression no longer overcame me, anxiety and panic no longer overcame me, I'm not saying that I never dealt with sadness or anxiety or things like that again, but it was no longer debilitating and it no longer stopped me like it did in the past because I got my strength from Christ and he delivered me. I'm not saying he delivers everybody from it. For some people, that's the thorn in their side that God uses to keep them coming to him. Everybody's situation is different. But for me, God delivered me. He gave me a peace that surpassed all understanding that allowed me to leave behind smoking and drinking and things like that. But I have seen spiritual warfare in my life now manifest as a random day where things should be going good, but all of a sudden it's like I'm getting hit with every single depressive thought and doubt and fear. And instead of looking at like, yeah, God's about to move and God's about to do these amazing things, it's thoughts of it's never going to get better. It's never going to work out. It's never going to happen. What about this? What about that? And when I take these intrusive thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, when I start saying I silence every voice that's not the Father, not the Son, not the Holy Spirit, when I start going into a space of praise and prayer and worshiping God, even when I don't feel like I have a lot of things to praise for, I still do it. That silences the enemy, right? We see that that's one of the things when we're putting on the armor of God is prayer and being rooted in the truth. When you combat the enemy's lies, sometimes spiritual warfare looks like those lies that are popping up in your brain. They're saying, you're not good enough. God didn't say that. This isn't going to happen. This isn't going to be good. Spiritual warfare, it can look like people, but it can also look like those thoughts, those intrusive thoughts. And that's so important that you step into your authority in Christ Jesus and silence those and rebuke those, bind and rebuke those, and remind yourself of what God's word says. That's why I'll always say it's so important to be rooted in God's word and to know God's word. It's a lot easier to combat the lies of the enemy when you're rooted in God's word and you know what he says and you know that his word is true. Now let's start moving through this little checklist, y'all. I want to give you a little bit of background. Okay, when I gave my life to Jesus, it was a heavy period of spiritual warfare. Y'all got to keep in mind, I at this point had been a full-on New Ager. I had been a tarot card reader on social media. It was very clear my stance and my beliefs. I had fallen out with a lot of people. I had a lot of people who were angry at me. I had a lot of people who were holding me in unforgiveness. I had a lot of people who were being used by the enemy that didn't want to see me put my faith in Jesus, that did not want to see me leave that life behind. They wanted to see me in pain and suffering. At this point in my life, there had been a lot of lies. There had been a lot of gossip, a lot of half-truths. And me coming to Jesus, me turning my life around through the help of Jesus Christ, me turning from wickedness and turning to goodness, that would end up exposing a lot of these false narratives. And there were, again, at the root of it, the enemy behind. But when I check the people's motives, the people who are involved, me doing that things would have made them look like a liar. Me doing those things would have eventually exposed. So that was a lot of people's personal stake in it, is a lot of people didn't want me to do better with my life because it would reveal a lot of things that they had been saying and doing. It would reveal their hearts. It would reveal their intentions. But see, the enemy was playing off of that. There's a bigger person behind it. There's a bigger spiritual behind it, and that is the devil. And that's why I always say it's so important to like be forgiving and to be loving, that the devil will use unforgiveness to operate through you. Unforgiveness is a great foothold for him to have, and you don't want to give that to him. There are a lot of wicked things that people do because they're in a space of unforgiveness. So keep in mind, y'all, I am at a spot in my life where me turning to Jesus, doing good, handling things the Jesus way, patience, love, kindness, forgiveness, knowing when to hold my tongue, giving it to God. If I stepped into all these things, it would have blown the enemy's plan to the floor. So when I tell you, for like a year, it felt like just constant warfare of trying to tempt me to handle things not in a loving way, trying to get me to step out of character, trying to get me to act differently, trying to get me to do all these other things. Like the enemy was actively bringing up old stressors, trying to get me into old habits, trying to get me weary and gaslit to move in all these ways that weren't me anymore. And through this, God allowed these things to happen. God allowed this opposition to happen. God allowed these triggers to happen to produce an endurance in me, to strengthen my faith. Consider a great joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, for it's an opportunity to produce endurance. It was an opportunity for me to, I had the decision, do I go backwards or do I stay rooted in Christ? And each time you practice staying rooted in Christ, it gets a little bit easier. I'm not saying it was always easy to like hold my tongue or forgive or respond in love, but it got easier the more frequently I had to do it. God will allow opposition, testing, trials, things like that to literally train you up, to strengthen you, to prepare you. I'm speaking from experience of all of these things were allowed to happen, and it would have been really easy for me to be like, why is this allowed to happen? And get angry at God and rely on my own understanding and think, I gave my life to you, Lord. Why are you still allowing this? And see him as like unjust, believing the lies of the enemy. But instead, I remembered that he has plans to prosper me, not to harm me. I remembered what he did with Joseph. That all of the opposition, all of those things that were allowed to happen to him, one day were used to elevate him. They were used to strengthen him. So I'm here today to tell y'all, I'm speaking to you from a point of, there was a lot of opposition. There were a lot of attacks allowed to happen to me. God allowed these things to happen because he knew that they would produce something in me. He knew that they would strengthen me. Now I want to give y'all the very first step that the Lord in my private time with him today really gave me that I wrote down is you have to be willing. Where were we? Here we are. That you have to know that God isn't surprised and that he planned for this, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever it is that's happening. Sorry, y'all, I started to read off of my back page. It's a double-sided page. Bear with me. This is a little bit of a list. The first thing I needed to understand and comprehend when dealing with this warfare was that God isn't surprised with what I'm dealing with, that he already planned for it. So he already planned that that person was going to not tell me about that job offer. He already planned that that person was going to lie about me. He already planned that that person was going to try to speak some kind of fear or doubt. He already planned. Now, that's not saying that God orchestrated it, but he is all-knowing, and he already planned. Before I gave my life to Christ, and even before I stepped in a new age, I had this idea in my head that God was caught off guard or surprised. Like, I can remember a couple times when just some messy, messy thing would happen. And when I would look up and be like, bet you didn't expect that one, huh, God? You told me to step into this and this happened. And that was because, you know, a part of me didn't understand how God will use suffering and use these things for our good. I believe that anytime you're obeying God, he was just calling you into something beautiful or something amazing. So whenever something bad would happen, I would be like, oh, God must not have foresaw this. He must not plan for this. And in knowing scripture, I know that's not biblical, right? But this is what's going to help you to start with putting your faith in God, is understanding that whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're dealing with, he already knew you were going to face this. And he called you to it anyway. He called you to whatever position you're in, whatever the environment is, whatever the situation is. For example, we walk into a new environment, we walk into a new space that God has called us to step into, but we're met with opposition. And sometimes we want to look up and be like, God, are you surprised by this? Like, why would you lead me here knowing this is going to happen? So it's so important for you to understand that God has already planned around this. God already knew. He's not taken by surprise. And I want to give you a little bit of scripture with that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. God is greater. God is greater than our heart. He knows everything. I want to take y'all with me to Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 139. Bear with me as I'm flipping in my Bible. We are going to go to Psalm 139, and we are going to start in verse 1. And it says here, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. And there's another piece of scripture that my mind gets pulled to constantly, and that is Jeremiah 1:5, where God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And he speaks this to Jeremiah when he's calling Jeremiah to go prophesy and be a mouthpiece to a group of people that don't want to hear what Jeremiah has to say. And God is like building some confidence because Jeremiah is like, I'm too young. I'm too underqualified. I'm not right for this position, basically. And God is like, no, I already created you. Like when you were being created, I already had this intention for your life. I already wanted to use you in a big way. I already planned for you to be a mouthpiece. Don't act like this is some new thing. I have had this plan for you long before you were conscious. So it's so important for us to understand that God is all-knowing. He is all seeing. He knows the opposition you're facing before you take it to him in prayer, which also means, and I don't know who needs to hear this today, God knows when you're trying to lie to him. God knows when you go into prayer and you're trying to twist what happened. If you try to say someone said something that they didn't say, someone did something that they didn't, when you try to claim that they have this intention in their heart but they don't. God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're thinking about doing, what you're considering doing. He knows all these things, and he knows them with everybody else. So understand that God knows every part of the situation that you don't even know, that you don't even see. The next step I have here is understand that God already has a plan and that he uses things for our good. Pulling again from Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And we can look at the story of Joseph too. Joseph, who, when he was young, he was favored by his father on earth. And his brothers were already jealous. He already had ops because it was clear the favor over his life. That's something someone needs to hear today. When God's favor over your life is clear, like things just are always working out for you, or God blesses you, or it's just clear that God's hand is over your life, there's going to be jealousy just from that. I've experienced this in my life. I've heard lots of people say that there are people who, because they suffered, they feel like everyone else needs to suffer in that way. Because they experienced a pain or hardship, they feel like everyone else needs to experience that. And when they don't see people experience that, there's an envy and a jealousy. And again, that's why God calls us not to be envious or jealous, because when you're rooted in envy and jealousy, that's a great way for the devil to come in and start getting you to act in ways that you're not supposed to be acting. I think we can definitely pull this back to previous episodes where I say that these things are open doors for the devil. So when I tell y'all to be forgiving, when I tell y'all to let go of envy and jealousy and all these things, I'm telling you because, like, we see in the scripture just how much the devil will use it. Like, it is literally a danger. I said in the last episode, God doesn't call us not to do these things or to flee the sin because he doesn't want us to have fun or he wants to be superior. Like, he just wants to see us submit just for the heck of it. He does it because he knows just how much leeway it actually gives the devil. But we see that when Joseph receives, like when he receives a dream and God is showing him, like his brother is bowing down before him, overall, God shows Joseph, like, I have a big plan for your life. You're going to do some amazing things. You're going to be used in an amazing way by me. Joseph gets excited and he goes and tells his brothers. He thinks these people are going to be supportive of him. How many times do we go and tell our friends and our family something that we're planning for, something that we believe God is going to do in our lives because we're so excited, and we assume, well, since they're our friends or since they're our family, they'll be supportive. And instead you're met with envy, jealousy, doubtful words. Joseph was met with more than that. He goes and tells his brothers, and his brothers, in such envy and jealousy and hardened hearts, at first plot to kill him. Like, at first, that's what they're going to do. They're going to just kill him, like, have him mauled, like, just kill him. And then they eventually settle on instead selling him into slavery. And we can see that that is in their jealousy, in their unforgiveness, that they feel like their dad favored, their earthly father favored him and already had jealousy towards him. Let alone feeling now like God is also favoring him too. Instead of being used by God to, you know, help encourage him and help strengthen him, they're used by the enemy to try to delay and block him. And at first that looks like just trying to end his life, period. And then it moves on to slavery. Well, he can't be elevated or anything like that if he's in a pit, if he's a slave. He can't receive good care from the father or anything like that if he's not around the father. In their envy and in their jealousy, they were used by the enemy to try to stop God's will, to try to stop someone from stepping into their calling. But we see that God used that. That's where we're getting back to, is God uses all things for your good. The enemy can do all of these things that looks like there's no way God can use it, and God will still use it. Because what happens? Joseph is in slavery. He's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar is blessed because he's there. So God is still, even though he is going through this suffering as a slave, which looks like an injustice, God is still blessing him. It's still clear that God is with him and loves him. And then we see another form of opposition. When you try to do things God's way, when you reject the ways of the world, when you refuse to conform, warfare is going to hit in that way too. It doesn't get easier when you turn from evil and do good. Oftentimes the spiritual warfare cranks up, and we see that with Potiphar's wife, right? Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph, tries to get him to fall into fornication, adultery, sins. And when Joseph is like, nah, I'm good. What does Potiphar's wife do? She falsely accuses him and says, well, he did it anyway. Well, he tried to do it. And he goes to jail. And he's in jail for a minute, like years. And he's still in there doing God's work. He's still in there interpreting dreams. And he's even being blessed while he's in the jail. You see how the devil will the opposition will put you in these places of suffering, and God's hand will still shine through. Even when Joseph was in jail, it was still clear that God favored him. He was still getting blessed in that situation. And one day, in God's timing, someone remembered Joseph, who can interpret dreams, told Pharaoh, told the leader. And when Joseph went before him and interpreted that dream, it was clear that God was with him. And he received that position where his brothers were then bowing down to him and everything like that. And we see that Joseph, in that high position, had the opportunity to act the same way his brothers did. But he did not. He chose love and forgiveness. And even later on, we see that the brothers refused to believe that he could be forgiving. They were like, nah, he has some hidden animosity. We see that God will use the opposition and the warfare and the attempts for the enemy to block you for your good. And it'll actually be the stepping stone. Think of Psalm 90. Think of Psalm 23. Someone needs to hear that today, because that really got me through. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Indeed, goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for endless days. Amen. Right? But before that, it says, you prepare a table before me in front of my enemies. Someone needs to hear this today, that God will literally use the work of the enemy as your footstool to elevate you when you trust in his will over yours. So these two first steps are really important, because these first two steps are going to lead to you surrendering and submitting to God, right? Because in order to submit your will to God and trust in his ways, you have to trust in his ability first, right? You have to trust in his ability to plan for everything. You have to trust in his ability to use everything for your good. And that's why I'm giving you right now the scriptures I'm giving you right now, the evidence I'm giving you right now, is that God already knows everything that could happen, everything that's being thought out. God already knows what you're going to do, what they're going to do. God has planned for all of it. God knows what's going to happen 15 years from now. And God is also able to use anything, warfare, anything opposition, for your good. God is able to flip it like that. And knowing these things changes the way that you perceive your situation. You're able to start operating out of a space of victory, right? You're able to start seeing that I'm on the winning team when I'm submitted to Jesus and I have my faith in Jesus. Because Jesus Christ secured victory when he went to the cross, right? So now you're able to step a bit more into the authority. And that goes on to our third point that I have written down, is surrender your understanding and your desires to God, submitting to his plan and his methods. Because y'all, when you're faced with all this opposition, there's usually a lot of things you want to do at first that aren't Christ-like. Usually you want to pop off. You want to yell, you want to scream, you want to fight, you want to defend yourself, you want to make this person look bad, you want to expose this, you want to go out of your way and do this and solve this, and you want to lean on your own understanding. But when you trust in God and his ability, it's a bit easier to start trusting in what he's calling you to do, right? And I want to quote to you, this is one of my favorite Bible verses ever, which is Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So we know that we are supposed to put all of our faith in the Lord, put all of our trust in him. You know, when you are in this situation, that's the moment to not trust yourself and your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions, but to instead trust in God and what he says. And we're told that when you do that, when you put your trust in him, and you do not lean on your own understanding, you don't lean on your own thoughts, you don't lean on your own methods, and you acknowledge him in all your ways, meaning like you're the things that you're doing, the steps that you're taking, you're trying to do things that glorify him, that elevate him, not elevate you, that elevate him. We can see that through loving one another, showing people the love of Jesus in circumstances where it makes no sense. That's not a thing that glorifies you. That's a thing that glorifies God. You know, we're supposed to do these good works in hopes that people will see it and be able to see God in it. Right? You do these works so that others may see it and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The good things that you're doing, the loving ways that you're responding, all these things aren't meant to make you look like the good guy or you look like the good person, but it's meant to show Jesus. Because the thing that is different between you and these other people is you know the love of Jesus. It's not supposed to glorify you or elevate you. It's supposed to glorify God. So in all your ways, acknowledge him, meaning acknowledge his word. Acknowledge what he says to do. In all your ways, try to live submitted to him. And he will make straight your paths. Meaning this opposition that you're facing will be cleared out in a way. This current thing that you're facing where it's like, I have no idea how I'm going to navigate this. I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this. I have no idea how I'm going to move through this. When you in all your ways acknowledge him and lean not on your own understanding, he is going to be able to straighten out that path. He's going to be able to show you the way. He's going to be able to clear out the chaos. So surrender your own understanding, your own methods to God. In the past, maybe you thought crashing out and popping off was the best way, but you know that that's not what God's word says to do. It's not. You know that gossiping back and lying back and slandering back and trying to secure revenge isn't what you're supposed to do, because vengeance is the Lord's. We're supposed to forgo those people to God and trust in his divine justice. You know, when you read the Bible, what God's word says to do, and it's submitting to that over what you your flesh desires to do, okay? That is the next step. Because I know for me, when it was really hard when I had all these lies and all this gossip and all this slander, and all I wanted to do was like go on social media and be like, hey, this is actually what happened. Hey, this is actually the truth. Hey, this is actually why I'm moving this way. This is actually what's going on. I cannot tell y'all how many times God told me to wait on him, that he would expose the truth, that the way that I live my life would speak for itself, that I don't have to do these things, to trust in him. And although that went against what my flesh wanted to do, I trusted in God's word. I saw how many times he had done that. I knew he was more than able. And I had to trust that he was going to be willing to do that for me too. Now we're moving on to the next step here, which is take things to God in prayer. Ask him what to do. Give the situation to him. And that is led into with relying not on our own understanding, right? When we are faced with a situation, big or small, we are supposed to go to God and ask him, what do we do here? What do I do here? That traces back to leaning not on our own understanding. When we're faced with a situation, it's really easy for us to say, okay, this is how I want to handle it, and this is what I think is going on, and this is what I think is the best method. But what we're supposed to do is actually take it to God in prayer and say, God, this is the situation. And we're not explaining the situation to him because he doesn't know. He already knows. But he wants us to take it to him anyway, right? So we're going to him and saying, God, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm feeling. And like, this is what I want to do. This is my plan. But what we're supposed to do next is ask God, is this your will? Is this your plan? I know what I want, but what do you want? What are you telling me to do? What are you guiding me to do? And now it's so important to understand that God will not contradict his own word. And we've talked earlier about silencing the voices that are not the Father, not the Son, not the Holy Spirit. The devil masquerades as an angel of light. And he will at times try to tell you to do things and give you advice that sounds good to the ears. But that's why it's so important that you know scripture, you know the word of God, because you're able to hold up what the devil is whispering to you and say, that goes against God's word. That goes against God's character. We see that that's what happened with Jesus when he was in the wilderness, right? When he was fasting and the enemy, the devil came to him trying to tempt him. And the devil was quoting scripture, but taking it out of context and twisting it. Trying to get Jesus to be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's biblical. But because Jesus not only knew the word of God, but had a relationship, that's why I said in the last episode, you cannot follow Jesus if you don't have a relationship with him. It's one thing to know the word of God. It's another to experience God, to experience Jesus and have a relationship with him. But because Jesus knew the Father, because Jesus was led by the Spirit, because he knew God's word, those go hand in hand, that he knew scripture, he was able very quickly to rebuke Satan and say, you know, thou shalt not put the Lord your God to the test. Thou shalt not like worship anyone other than the Father. Like he was able to very quickly be like, nah, I see right through this. Someone needs to hear today that prayer isn't just asking God for things. It's also sitting and listening. Prayer, a lot of us look at prayer as like asking God for things. And that's just like our request and we move on with our day. Prayer is actually a communication. It's like your phone call. And sometimes you don't always hear back like within 30 seconds. Sometimes it's sitting there for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, just in God's presence, just being open to hearing what he has to say. God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. For me, he often speaks to me through my scripture time, through Bible reading, intentional alone time with God, building your relationship with him. It's so important, the big and small things, even when you feel like you know what to do, take it to him in prayer anyway, because sometimes his answer is a lot different than what you're expecting. Remember, he uses our situations and opposition in ways that we could never imagine he could use it to glorify him and to further his kingdom. We think very close-minded compared to God. The most creative person in the world doesn't even come near God's creativity. Now, I want to read a little bit of Matthew to you. And it's Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Here's the next thing. You need to trust that when you go to God in prayer and ask him, like when you are truly opening your heart and saying, God, I want to know your will. What do you want me to do, even if it is different from what I want to do? Show me the way. Show me the truth. You have to trust that he's going to answer that prayer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. He wants us, God wants us to come to him for guidance and direction. He wants us to submit our ways to him and to obey him. But you have to trust that when you come to him, he's actually going to show you. He's actually going to reveal things to you. He's actually going to speak to you. That if you need to know, he's going to make sure you know. You know, you can't go into the prayer with him with like a closed off heart or saying, well, I'll go and ask God, but I already know what I want to do and what I'm going to do. And the only way I'll change my mind is if he does A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's not you submitted or surrendered. It's not. Going to God in prayer is literally forego. You're giving up your will in a sense of saying, I know what I want to do and I know what my mind says, but that might not be the way. So God, I'm asking you to show me the way. When I remember there was a time when I was leaving New Age, and I was going through a weird transition where I was still a tarot card reader for money, but I had started reading scripture and I had started feeling convicted. And it was right coming up on the end when I stopped doing it completely. And I went through a time where it was like every time I got online, I did a live stream every day, and there were people on there that I could tell were making fun of me. That like they would be nice surface level, but they were saying like a lot of gaslighting things to me. And they were saying a lot of provoking things to me. And they were asking me questions to purposely provoke me and to like entrap me. Like it was a weird dynamic and it was a weird situation. And I remember when I was first submitting to God of like, how do I handle these people? Because I know what they're doing and I don't think they realize I know. And there was a real thing for me for a long time, y'all, where I did not like people thinking I was stupid. I wanted people to know I knew what was up. I wanted people to know I knew what was going on. I wanted people to know they weren't pulling a fast one on me. And I wanted to like myself twist things on them. I didn't want to wait on God to use it for my good. I wanted to just be able to twist it. And I, at first, before I gave my life to Jesus, that was how I would handle things. And when I started submitting my will to God, I was like, God, how do you want me to handle it? Like, I know what I want to do. And what I want to do is pretty quick and direct and to the point. But I felt God tell me, that's not what I want you to do. Actually, what I want you to do is I want you to treat them with love. And I want you to warn them. I want you to warn them of what they're doing. I want you to warn them that what they're doing is wicked. I want you to warn them that they are listening to deception. I want you to warn them that they are going down a path that they are not supposed to be going down. And for a little while, that was what I was doing consistently in a loving space. And in the way that I felt God was leading me to, I was warning them of like, you're listening to lies, like you're listening to deceit. But there was a preaching of repentance that God was calling me to of, but you can still turn it around. You can still choose not to believe in this. You can still choose not to put your faith in this. You today can humble yourself. Like you today can pray that God gives you humility. You today can separate from that group. Just because you've gone down this path for so long doesn't mean you need to continue to go down this path. God called me to speak about wickedness, but also encourage repentance. And went through a period like that. And I wasn't seeing any shifts and I wasn't seeing any changes. You know, if anything, it looked like it was actually elevating. I was getting made fun of more. I've talked about before suffering on the behalf of Christ. I was actually getting made fun of more, like, haha, she's telling us to like rip it. And she's telling that. And it actually, in ways, it was being twisted. And I was like, God, now I'm being mocked even more. Now I look even weaker. Now I look even like, now the lies are spreading. Like, God, like, I don't see how this is going to be used for my good. I feel like I'm just suffering more. And then there was one day where I had a breakdown. I was like, God, I can't continue to do this. Like, you keep telling me to do this, but they're not repenting. Like, their hearts are hardened. It's continuing. And I felt like I was casting my pearls before swine. And, you know, he showed me that you warn a divisive person once, twice, three times, and then, like, you got to go your separate way. And I felt the Lord call me to remove those people, like, block them. When I did, I actually received, y'all, like, a lot of private messages that were like very gaslighting, where it was like, I don't know what I did wrong, like, why would you blah, like trying to, you know, it was like kind of like a final attempt when I look back at it to get me to explain myself, and another opportunity to twist my words. And I wanted to respond so badly, and I remember praying to God where I'm like, wouldn't the loving thing to do be to respond? Wouldn't the loving thing to do to be like, explain myself again? And the Lord revealed to me, you have warned so many times. You have explained so many times. And I'm giving you a warning right now that like, if you entertain these conversations, it's going to be twisted. And you would be disobeying me by responding. And it went against every inch of my flesh. And I just had to, I had to ignore those messages and let them sit and be used however they were going to be used, and trust in God's timing. He would move in that situation. And he has. But sometimes God is going to call you Like a lot of things he's going to call you to do and the ways he's going to call you to respond are way above your pay grade of like understanding. Because I could not understand why God was having me warn, why God was having me encourage repentance, why God wasn't letting me just block and move on with my life. I had to like for a period minister to those people. And then it was like a flip where he was like, it's clear they're not repenting. And it's clear that the hearts are hardened. And it's time for you. Your mental health is like taking a big hit at this point. And you're also my child, and I also love you. Tune this out. We're not dealing with this anymore. And then it was like almost immediately after I fully gave my life to Jesus, gave up New Age, and gave up tarot card reading as a whole. God moved in that situation, but I had to trust his ways were above my ways. I had to trust in the things that he was warning me about that I could not yet see. And that's a little bit further down on our list, but I actually feel like that is what I'm being guided to talk about next. And we see this actually in, I believe it's the book of Matthew, in the first couple chapters, chapter 2, where Jesus is being born. And you have to walk by faith and not by sight. And the thing about taking things to God in prayer is you also have to be willing to take his word as truth and submit to what he says, even if it doesn't look like your surroundings. And we see that with when Jesus is born, right? We see that with the wise men. And the wise men are going to pay homage to Jesus, to glorify him. And we see the king that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's smiling and he's acting like he has good intent, but he doesn't have good intent. And what I've actually learned is if you historically look at him, he doesn't have a history of being a good dude. From my understanding, the king in the situation, he actually had a history of like attacking people and offing people. Like if you look at his track record, he doesn't come from a loving or empathetic space. He has a history of executing his will, like me over other people. Like if you look at his life history, it's pretty clear that he's not like submitted to God or handling things in a loving or empathetic way. Like there is an alternate agenda in a lot of the things he does. He has a pattern of that, but he still tries to present himself as a good intent in telling these wise men, like, hey, when you find the child, come let me know where he's at. Give me this information so that way I too can go and worship him. He's like, when y'all figure it out, I want you to come and report back. That was him, like, kind of enlisting. You hear people say, like, monitoring, flying monkeys. You know, that was the king trying to create some flying monkeys. That was him trying to get these guys to go out and do the dirty work, to collect the information, to do all that, and come report it back to him. And we know it wasn't with the intent of actually going and worshiping Jesus and like helping him and doing all these things. It was actually to harm him. But he knew that if he was very clear with that intent, the wise men probably weren't going to come back and report back. So he just said, yeah, I want this information to do good. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why discernment is so important, is why taking things to God is so important, is why trusting, there's a reason why in the Bible we're told you shall know them by their fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. People can repent and give their lives to Christ and turn their lives around. I did. I did. Look at Saul in the Bible, who became Paul. That is possible. But you shall know them by their fruit. Okay? And people who know me long enough now, they know me by my fruit. They can see God moving in my life. They can see the Holy Spirit working through me. But people, if they would have known me 3, 4, 5 years ago, they would have also known me by my fruit, which was the opposite. The things I was producing, the lack of patience, the lack of love, the unforgiveness, those things, it was very clear that I wasn't being led by Jesus. It was very clear that I was being led by the flesh. So you would have known me by my fruit at that time too. And you would have been able to see, yeah, she doesn't know Jesus like that. She's not submitted to the word of God. She's lukewarm. You shall know them by their fruit. And see, when these wise men went off, they received a word. God spoke to them and warned them and said, do not return. Angel warned them, do not return to the king. Do not tell him jack squat about Jesus. Don't do it. Now, they didn't have all of these receipts, all of these information. It wasn't like they overheard all these conversations between the king and that they had all these things exposed. They had to trust in what God was saying. And again, like I said, from reading history, there are probably some rumors about that king at that time of him not being a good dude, of him, you know, taking a lot of wicked actions. So it may not have been very far-fetched, okay, for the wise men to see, okay, yeah, maybe this guy's being a bit deceptive. But it's crazy how many people, you should know them by their fruit, that they're deceptive. There's a negative intent here, that people totally disregard that and just say, nah, I'm sure I'm just going to take him at his word this time. But these wise men walked by faith, not by sight. They trusted in God's order to not report back, knowing that the king has armies. The king could have sought them out and like off them. I'm sure they probably had some kind of fears too of like, we're about to disobey the king. We're about to go against what he told us to do. And that was also them having to trust in God will protect them in obeying whatever that protection looks like. And then we see right after that, God do the same thing with Joseph. We see God do that same thing with Joseph. Where in the, he has a dream and he is told, y'all gotta leave. You need to take the child and you need to go. Like, God is telling him, like, y'all gotta leave the country. And you can you imagine just for a moment how stressful that might be? Mary and Joseph have this child that they're just trying to stability and raise, and they're told, hey, I know you haven't planned to move. Like, I know this isn't like your game plan. I know you might not feel like you have all the resources or all this, but there's danger coming. The king is about to like start killing infants. So you need to move and trust that I'll provide. Like, Joseph believing in that dream was a real walk by faith, not by sight, because he listened to what God said. He listened to the warning. Although looking around, the king hadn't drafted up a law yet. He wasn't killing infants yet. None of that was going on. He trusted when God said, but it will happen. So you need to move now. And because he listened to God, he was moved to a safe space. Jesus was moved to a safe space. Taking things to God in prayer and listening and heeding his warnings will allow you to move away from the warfare. There are times like God is speaking to you. If you obey him, he's going to put you up on a safe space. So that way when the storms come in, when the war is going on, you are out of that. And I can't tell y'all how many times that the Lord revealed to me that my refusal to reply back to somebody, like my refusal in those situations to like entertain, to go back and forth, was actually God moving me in a safe space. Because later on, when things went down, I didn't have a dog in the fight. In all honesty, like, there wasn't Danielle said this, there wasn't Danielle did that. There was, these people were doing these things, and I minded my own business. I cannot tell y'all how many times that obeying God, and at first looked like me doing nothing, turned into like me being the one person that refused to participate and like really prevented me from having to deal with a lot of mess. So that's our next step, y'all, is taking it to God, but trusting in what he reveals to you, walking by faith, not by sight. And being willing, this is the next step, being willing to rest while God works, if that is what he commanded. Cannot tell y'all how many times the opposition pressure was being put on me. And I was like, God, how do I handle this? Like, God, like, what do you want me to do? And he was literally telling me, I want you to rest and trust that I'm working this out. There's not a move you need to make right now. What you need to do is rest. And I want to be so clear that resting in Christ isn't that thing of like, okay, now you're sleeping all day and just doing whatever makes your heart happy and like binge watching all these shows. What resting looked like was no longer fixating on that problem, no longer putting my hands in and trying to work it around, trying to redirect it, trying to make things happen, but instead releasing it, giving it to God, and delighting in the Lord. And for me, that looked like scripture reading. I worked on reading my Bible, Bible studies, reflecting, you know, looking at areas in my life that needed worked on. That looked like serving. Like, how can I volunteer? That looked like listening to worship music. Resting is giving that situation to God. And there's a story that I want to share with y'all, I want to highlight. And it's in 1 Samuel. It's the opening of 1 Samuel. And it's Hannah and Peninnah. And this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. One of my absolute favorite stories. Because we see Hannah, who is not able to have children. God has prevented her from conceiving. That's how it's described in that Bible story of God intentionally has not let her yet have a child. And her husband has a second wife named Peninnah that has had kids. And Peninnah is not nice about it. Peninnah actually gloats about it, goes out of her way to make Hannah feel like crap about herself. Peninnah is like described as like an enemy to her. She taunts her. Ha ha, I have kids, you don't. Ha ha, I can have kids, you can't. Ha ha, look at how I win and you can't. Peninnah constantly trying to get Hannah to compare herself and feel less than. That is Hannah's life. She lives in that situation. Her day-to-day life is people making fun of her and her shortcomings and saying, I have this and you don't. I'm blessed and you aren't. And she dealt with that for years, years. It wasn't just like a day. It wasn't just a week. It wasn't just a month. For years, that was her life. And it shows in reading that story that she was growing more and more weary. And her husband wasn't exactly the best comfort. He would say some silly stuff like, am I not better than all these sons? Like, aren't I good enough for you? He wasn't exactly the most sensitive or the most comforting. And we see that one day, like Hannah just, it's overwhelming for her. And she runs into the temple and she starts just laying it all out before God with a lot of emotions. There is sadness, there's weariness, but there's also resentment, a frustration. And she's pouring out to God and saying and she starts saying to him, like, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Like, she hits a point where she's like, I don't even want it for me anymore. I want it just to glorify you. If you give me a son, I will give him back to you. She makes an agreement of he will not cut his hair, a covenant, like saying like he will be dedicated to you in this way. And she is laying it out so fervently. This is a problem that she has been facing day after day, year after year. And she's saying, I cannot fix this. I cannot do this. Like, I cannot handle this on my own. And I'm giving it to you because I don't know what to do. I don't have any other answer. I'm giving it to you. You are the answer. I know that you are capable of intervening and fixing this. And I need you to do it. And if you do it, like, I will give it back to you. I will use it to glorify you. It's not going to be for me. And she meant that. She wasn't just saying it. She meant that. Because God knows our hearts. He knows when you're saying, I'll do this and I'll do this. And that's not where your heart is at. He knows when you're being deceptive. He knows. That's also why oftentimes before God blesses you with something, he'll put you through the crushing. He'll allow you to go through suffering and trials and things that produce the fruit that's necessary to be a good steward over that thing. Or he blesses you with that big financial blessing. He'll make sure you're in a giving space where you're going to use it to glorify God. He'll make sure, you know, you're not about to get greedy and gluttonous and fall off the path. God would much rather have you submitted and surrendered to him than you having all the comforts and comfortability in the world, because he loves you that much. But Hannah lays it out before the Lord. And there's a priest in the temple, Eli, who's like, look, he thinks she's drunk. And he's like, basically saying, girl, like, how long are you going to be drunk? Quit drinking. Why are you in here drunk? And she looked at him and she's like, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying so fervently. I'm just so emotional at this time. She's like, I am pouring out my heart to the Lord. And, you know, he says in response to her, he's like, well, may the Lord grant your request. And when Hannah leaves, Keep in mind, when she leaves the temple, she hasn't miraculously conceived. She's not pregnant. Penina didn't die. It's not like her enemy was removed from the situation or taken out. Nothing physically had yet changed. The only thing that changed was she gave it over to God. And when she left, her mood was different. There was a peace she had. She ended her fasting too. She ate and like her facial expression had softened. And she went home to her husband, went on with her life, you know, have an intimate time with him. And in God's timing, God remembered her and she conceived. So when she took it to God in prayer, although she hadn't already started seeing him working immediately, although she hadn't already seen all this factual in her face evidence that God was doing this thing, she just trusted that his will was going to be done and that was what was best for her. She trusted that her request is going to be granted of having a kid. And I want to be very clear with sometimes the things that we're praying to God for so fervently, he knows that that thing would actually break us. He knows that he has something better in store. So some things, yes, in that fervent way, like praying for a child, praying for a healing or something like that, and God hears. And there are other times that there's something bigger that he's doing with it. So our prayer is still being answered, but it might not be in the way that we expect it. And I want to be so clear with that too. Okay, that sometimes God's answered prayer isn't that specific thing we're asking for, but it's better in his timing. But that's the story that always hits so hard for me. All Hannah did was give it to God, and she had a peace with knowing that he was working and his ways were above her ways. And she was able to go back to her life and see blessing in God's timing. And that's another walking by faith, not by sight. She walked away with peace, not because everything looked different, but because she trusted in God's timing, it would be different. There were lots of promises when I was going through this opposition, y'all, that God was making me of like, one day this isn't going to be a thing. Like, what you're dealing with right now, you're not going to deal with forever. Truth will be revealed. Things will come to light in God's timing. And I trusted in that word over what I saw and felt. And that was what allowed me to continue to move by faith. And that's our next step here, is be rooted in faith and trust in God's word over what your environment looks like. 2 Corinthians verses chapter 5, verse 7, walk by faith, not by sight. And I want to give you all one more example of someone who is moving by faith. I'm going to give you two examples of people who are trusting in God's word and moving by faith over what they see. Look at Noah with the ark. Noah had to trust God when God said, there is a flood coming and you got to build like a really big boat. You got to build an ark and I will save you. Like, all these other people are going to perish, but you will be saved. And you got to save all these animals. Can you imagine at that time how many people were calling Noah like stupid and making fun of him? Can you imagine how stupid he may have felt at times? How much doubt was probably being spoken at him? How much did God really say that? Did you really hear from God? Ha ha ha. The enemy is laughing. The enemy is usually trying to embarrass you and laugh at you and rejoice over you until God does his thing and then everyone's silent. Then the enemy's silent. How many times are they saying, ha ha, that's not going to happen. God isn't going to move in your life. Doubt, fear, doubt. This is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And everyone has a lot to say until God comes through, and then everyone's quiet. And I imagine that with Noah. At the time, there was, where's that flood going to come from? Oh, it's going to rain. Okay. Noah trusted anyway, built that ark. And what happened? The rains came. The flood came. Everybody and their mama was gone, except for Noah and the select people that God let him bring. Look at Moses, okay? There's a lot Moses went through. And he didn't feel capable of being used by God. And it took, honestly, he was pushing back with God of like, I can't speak, I can't do all these things. God still used him despite his lack of faith. But we see that when Moses finally stepped into what God was calling him to do, it wasn't like everything happened overnight. How many times did Pharaoh harden his heart and reject Moses when Moses was saying, let my people go? And how many times he had the opportunity to see God's hand and God move, and eventually God was hardening Pharaoh's heart? Opposition doesn't mean that it's not God ordained or that God hasn't called you to do it. I know someone needs to hear that clearly today. When you're doing what God has called you to do, there's going to be opposition. It's not always an easy cakewalk. But when you're relying on God and trusting in Him, trust that He will straighten out your paths, that the weapons will fall to the floor. Look at how many times the weapons were forming against Moses, with Pharaoh refusing to let the people go. Every time God said, now do this, and Moses would do it, and then it would look like nothing happened. Moses was obeying, and Pharaoh was still hardening his heart. Pharaoh was still saying no. Miracle, like the at legit moves of God were happening that were being rejected. And however many times this kept happening, Moses still didn't doubt what God was telling him to do and continued to press forward in spite of the opposition. And we see that eventually Pharaoh let the people go. And then what happens later on, Pharaoh starts chasing Moses down with his army and everything. And God allows that to happen. God allows the enemy to pursue Moses, because God had a plan. And in His timing, the waters that were once separated closed up and totaled Pharaoh and his army. God allowed Pharaoh and his army, out of their hardened heart, being used by the enemy, to put themselves in that position. They put themselves in the ocean. God didn't put them in there. They, in their hardened hearts, in their pride and their ego, chose to pursue the Israelites and Moses. And in doing that, God planned accordingly and swallowed them up. We see Moses moving by faith and trusting in God's word over what he sees. Even if he's getting hit with opposition after opposition, he's still moving forward anyway. And he sees the breakthrough. And Moses then also sees the weapons forming, not prospering. He sees firsthand, the Israelites see firsthand, how God is willing to protect his own against the hardened hearts and the works of the enemy. And let this again be another testimony to God will use things for your good. I'm sure they were scared, freaked out, the Israelites, when they saw Pharaoh and the army chasing after them. But God used that for the good of it became a testimony of just how hard God will go for his people. Also a testimony of what hardness of heart will cause you to put yourself into. There are a lot of people, and I'm saying this from a place of love, who are in spaces of suffering and hardship, not because they're a victim, but because they've been following their heart. They've been following the flesh. They've hardened their heart to God's word because they've put faith in themselves and their works over God. They have put themselves in positions to be made examples out of by God, and chasing down and pursuing God's people and trying to harm God's people. Here's another one that I have written down. Knowing God's word, believing it as truth, to do it the biblical way. It says in John 14:12, the one who believes in me will do the works that I do. And I've shared, we're going to read from Isaiah in just a minute, but as I'm finding the page, I have shared with y'all in previous podcast episodes that one of the biggest ways that I fell short and prevented me from putting all my faith in God was it was really hard for me to take God's word as absolute truth. I wanted to rely on my own feelings, my own understanding, and I was constantly trying to poke holes. And I let my heart, my thoughts, and my emotion, my understanding be my moral compass instead of God's word. And when you start looking at God's word as absolute truth and you close out all the doubt and all the fears and all the, I was one of those people that was like, well, what if someone edited something from the Bible? What if something did this? What if someone did that? I'm trusting in God's ability to reveal that, to expose that. I'm taking God's word as truth. it was a gamble for me to put my faith in God's word. In all honesty, y'all, I had hit a point in my life where I had no other choice, where it was clear that my works, I had been turned over for the destruction of my flesh. And I was at a point where I just understood that my ways and my understanding were not enough. And that if I continued down that path, things were just going to progress and get worse. And it was because I had no other option that I was like, you know what, why don't I, for the first time in my life, stop questioning the Bible, stop questioning God, and just read this book as if everything in it is true. And anything that contradicts my understanding is wrong. It's not that the Bible is wrong. It's that my understanding is wrong. It's that my methods are wrong. And when I started reading it that way, God moved mountains. And I want to read the scripture to y'all. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Knowing God's word and believing it as true, and starting to accept that if something you're reading contradicts the way that you have been living your life, it's not the Bible that's wrong, it's you. And there's going to be some people who are like, that's so ignorant, that's so offensive, that's so whatever. It's true. God's word is truth. And there are so many people, people who call themselves Christians, that are trying to twist the Bible to match their lifestyle and just ignore and leave out parts that don't match their life, that don't match their beliefs. They're trying to twist the Bible to fit their lives instead of changing their lives to fit the Bible. And you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. Believe God. And I have evidence to speak for it that no one is going to be able, I don't care what you say, that people can't tell me that I didn't see changes in my life when I started submitting to God's word as truth. I started seeing fruits I've never seen before. I started God using things for my good that I've never seen it happen like that before. When I stopped relying on my own ways, my own thoughts, my own feelings, my own emotions to gauge my reactions and my morals and just submitted to what God says to do, the fruit I saw was incomprehensible. The ways that he was able to twist things and use them for my good, the ways I saw the weapons falling to the floor, the ways truth started coming out, the ways things started being revealed, I could never do that for myself. I could never comprehend things that money can't buy. Things that PIs couldn't expose, like being so for real right now. Knowing that God's ways are higher and his understanding is higher, and just trusting, like, if God is all knowing and all seeing, of course, whatever he tells me to do is going to be a lot more effective than what I can create for myself. There's a reason why people say that God's word is living. There's a reason why we're told in scripture, this is living. Every time you open the Bible and read scripture, when you are in a place to just receive, every problem that you're going through in your life, there is an answer for it in the Bible. It might not be word for word of like, this is exactly what you're going through and this is step by step how to handle it. But you can find the answers in scripture. And start praying to God that he guides you in your scripture reading, that he reveals things to you. It's crazy. You can read the same verse 100 times on 100 different days and get 100 different revelations and clarity from it. I cannot tell you how many times that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has popped up, that I've been able to use that to navigate like 50 different situations that seem completely unrelated to one another. And each time I've seen God's hand move. Now, y'all, this is a very long episode, so I am drawing to a close. I am feeling like, okay, it's time to kind of wrap this up. And I pray that this episode blesses you and helps you to navigate opposition. And again, I want to be so clear and reiterate to y'all that this is a spiritual battle. That yes, there are people that are making moves, but you have to remember the bigger spirit behind the people and the root of what wickedness is actually trying to do, and that's trying to separate you from God. That's trying to stop God's will from being furthered. And when you start looking at the opposition and these actions, instead of just looking at the people and seeing the spirit behind it and the rooted motive behind it, you're able to start responding differently. You're able to start moving differently. And in doing that, you are going to start seeing fruit. And it's so important. Someone needs to hear this too. You can't fake it with God. We see how Jesus called out the Pharisees, where he was like, externally, y'all are polished and clean, but inside you're full of dry bones. Where he was saying, you're saying the right things. You're making yourselves look holy. You look like good people. You look righteous, but inside there's all of these things that need worked. There's this malintent. There's this greed. There's envy. There's jealousy. There's self-righteousness. There's all these things. You can present yourself as holy, but God knows what's really going on internally. Someone needs to hear that today. God knows what's going on internally. You can't fake it with him. You might be able to fake it with other people, but you can't fake it with God. And in God's timing, he will reveal. And I want to share with y'all a prayer I prayed that I really encourage you to start praying this prayer. I started praying when I was going through a period of starting to put my faith in God and leaving my old life behind. And I started praying, God, I pray that you help my unbelief. I acknowledge that I didn't believe and said, help me to walk by faith, not by sight. Help me to view things how you want me to view it. Help me to see people the way you want me to see them. Help me to move accordingly. Help me to submit and surrender to your will. Help me to do it. I submit to you. And I started praying, remove the desires from my heart that are not from you and replace them with desires that are from you. I trust that your will is good and the things that you have planned for me are good. And I know that your ways are higher than my ways. So whatever I have created for myself, if that is not aligned with your will, if that is not what you desire for me, remove it, because I trust that whatever you replace it with is much better. And I encourage you to start praying that prayer and to actively seek him with all you have. Start praying, God, if I'm handling this wrong, reveal to me what needs to be changed. If God has you in a waiting season, if you're going through this suffering, you're going through this warfare, there's something he's trying to produce in you. Ask that he reveals to you what he's trying to produce. Ask that you lean into it. Pray, God, help me to lean in. Help me to move in this. Like whatever you're trying to do, I pray that it's done. Help me to submit to you in this. Reveal things. Scabs fall off my eyes. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear and an understanding heart. And watch what he does with that prayer. Now, I want to thank y'all so much for listening to this podcast episode. And I do ask that you hit subscribe. Wherever it is you're listening to this podcast, subscribe. Share this. Share this with somebody. It's really helpful when you share the podcast. And leave a review. If you're on Spotify, you can leave a review. You can leave comments. Reviews are really helpful for me right now. Engaging and understanding and also pushing the content out there more. So I do encourage you, leave reviews. If you're listening on YouTube, leave comments. If you're listening on Apple or wherever it is you're listening, I do encourage you to do that, to interact a bit. And I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. And I'll see you guys next time. This was Salt, Not Sweetener. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.